We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the meaning of Scripture as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The final chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 28, and it's ending in two peaceful years. So the ship was broken up and destroyed. All the cargo was lost, but all of the men aboard had made it safely into an island. It was cold and rainy, but the people of the island showed the survivors no little kindness. They built a fire to warm the men. And then it happened. Satan struck. He hadn't killed Paul by the water. Now he tried to kill him in the fire. As Luke records it, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on the hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked on when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. So he went from the worst to the best. We're kind of reminded about what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 18. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Long story short, finally Paul arrives at Rome. Paul did many miracles there, and after 3 months, the centurion Julius, with his soldiers and Paul and the other prisoners, set sail for Rome. By now, the winter season was over, and sailing was good. On the way to Rome, some brethren turned out to meet Paul at a place called the Three Taverns. Their arrival gave him courage at their coming, and he thanked God for that blessing. The centurion Julius delivered Paul to the captain of the guard, and Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier to keep watch over him before his trial with Caesar. Now, during this time, Paul was allowed to preach and teach without any interruptions. He called the chief priest of the Jews together, the chief of the ones. This will be his last word to the Jewish people, as it turns out. And he witnessed to them about his preaching and teaching. Some believed his words, others did not. And so fell the judgment. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. What did he say? What is his final words to the rejecting Jews? "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear not, and seeing ye shall understand not." And this was spoken by the Holy Ghost. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. They closed. Nobody else did it. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, the heathen, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So the book of Acts now, by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Luke, ends with these words. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. 2 blessed years before his trial. We'll leave it right there. We've been involved now with the writings of Luke, the Holy Spirit using him, for either 5 or 6 years now. And I'd like to close on a personal note about Luke, the human writer. And what do we know about him? Well, in Colossians 4, verse 14, the Holy Spirit tells us this: Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, remember Demas, greet you. Luke was a physician, a beloved physician. As we know, Paul had some sort of human failure that he prayed 3 times to God to get rid of it. He'd be a much better preacher if God would do that, but God didn't. And the beloved physician Luke followed Paul just about wherever he went. And one thing we learn through a careful study under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is that Luke was with the disciples, or shortly thereafter, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read in John 18, verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, it doesn't come right out and say it, but it was the right ear that was cut off. And there's little doubt that Luke was the one that found this out, and he would be a physician, and he would want to know which ear it was that was cut off and Jesus had healed it. The others wouldn't have cared less, could have cared less, but not Luke. He's a physician. And the servant's name was Malchus. Luke knew that also, and so did John. And this was written now late, after all of the people involved, most of them at least, had passed on, so there was no danger to anybody about this. But Luke was the one that was there early on. He was courageous. He wasn't afraid to identify with Jesus. He stayed with Paul right to the bitter end. And there's a sad note here, as we learn from Paul's writing to 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. And Paul is ready to die now. He's very close. He says this: For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Remember what we just read in Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Well, Demas isn't there anymore. Demas hath forsaken me. Type of Judas Iscariot. Having loved this present world, 30 pieces of silver, and departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. So it's Paul and Luke. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. When we look at Luke, for me at least, one of the things that stands out is the fact that he did not play the numbers game. That's not what it was about. Example, Luke wrote both his gospel and the book of Acts to one person, Theophilus. Theophilus had his doubts. Many people had written about the things that unfolded during the death and resurrection of Jesus, and Theophilus had read probably most of them, and the end of it was he was confused. So Luke wrote his whole book, the Gospel of Luke, to Theophilus to assure him that what he wrote was really true, and he was guided by the Holy Spirit. And then when Theophilus was settled in his faith, Luke wrote to him the book of Acts. 52 chapters to one person. Luke had a love for the individual. Numbers didn't mean a thing. And here it was a one-on-one thing. It reminds us of the Son of God, doesn't it? The lost sheep. He goes after the lost sheep. And we see what the Holy Spirit did with these two books. Here you and I, hundreds of years later, on the other side of the world, have been blessed by reading what the Holy Spirit wrote through Luke. And Luke had no idea how far his teaching would go. No idea. It was a one-on-one thing to Theophilus. But you see what the Holy Spirit does with little things. And so he says to his own people, and he says to you, and he says to me, I'm going to misread this passage right now, and you're going to spot it right away. Jesus said, you should be the light of the world. That's not what he said. He said, ye are the light of the world. That's a fact. And that's written to every elect child of God. Every single one of us, we are the light of the world. A lot of times we're unaware of it. How you live, how you think is so important. And a lot of times we think we're doing it all by ourselves and nobody's watching. That's not always true. But another thing is don't forget something also that's very important. The holy angels are watching. Don't forget that. And even to them, we are the light of the world. And honoring and glorifying our Savior Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we are the light of the world. I'm thinking back right now, as I have recently when you get my age, thinking back to how it all began. And little things that happened when I was a child. And childhood memories are blessed memories. They last for years and years and years and years. And I was thinking back to what my first memory was of going to church. And the thing that came to mind was a night scene. And there are many night scenes in Scripture. They're always very precious. But for me, there was one thing that stood out. There were other things that stood out too. But I'm talking about the good memory that I had. And it happened at Christmas Eve services. And it was the custom of the church that the children in the Sunday school and the day school during the service would read Luke chapter 2. And those of us that are real little, we learned a couple verses, but we listened to what the older ones would say, and as they kept going, and we picked that up, and as we grew a little older, we found out that this was very easy to memorize. Luke has a way of writing. The Holy Spirit does that, especially in the King James translation. It's very easy to memorize. And before we knew it, we all knew these famous words written through the pen of Luke in chapter 2. And of course, after the service, we were given a bag with candy in and peanuts and that sort of thing. We looked forward to that too. Maybe too much, I don't know. But the point of it is Luke chapter 2. And looking back, that's really, in my early childhood, the only good memory I have in the church. But what a memory it was. Luke chapter 2. Those who are more acquainted with good writings than I am, more than one of them have mentioned that Luke chapter 2 just might be the greatest thing that's ever been written in the history of the world. Shakespeare notwithstanding. My own opinion would be that Luke 2, if you were going to put it up with all the other good writings in the world, Luke 2 would be located in the top one. Mainly because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, word for word. And what a blessing it was for me in early days when church wasn't all that meaningful to me, but I still had Luke chapter 2. And now as the years have gone on, I've been able to, me and my wife have been able to give Luke chapter 2 to our children. And our children are giving it to their children, our grandchildren, Luke 2. After all these years, what a blessing it is. And so I'd like to end our series now. We've been reading Luke's writings under the guidance of the Holy Spirit for either 5 or 6 years, I'd like to end this session by the night scene, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Luke chapter 2.